Prayer is the opening of one's heart to God. It is a determined response to God's grace. And as such, it is a battle, because the evil one does not want us to open our hearts to the Lord. The evil one does not want to see us make progress in prayer. And so we must learn to overcome certain obstacles to prayer, obstacles that have to do with the nature of prayer itself, and obstacles that we experience when we try to pray, when we make an attempt to pray, and then we find ourselves not doing very well. What are some of these obstacles to prayer? First of all, the very notion of prayer. Some people have a mistaken notion of what prayer is. Some see prayer simply as a psychological activity, or as an attempt to empty the mind, following the Buddhist tradition. Buddhist meditation would focus on emptying the mind rather than focusing on the Lord. Prayer as merely ritual words and postures, or prayer as something being incompatible with other activities. Someone who says, "I have no time for prayer," means that somehow my life will only be full if I engage in activities other than prayer. This is a mistaken notion about prayer and about what it is that will make us happy in this life, how we will find our peace in this life by being close to the Lord. We certainly can't do that apart from prayer. Another notion, a mistaken notion, is that prayer is a human effort apart from the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, we live in an age that does not value prayer. We live amidst a culture that tells us that we have more important things to do than pray. We're told that only that which can be verified by science is true, even though prayer is a mystery that overflows both our conscious and unconscious lives. We are encouraged to overly prize profit and production, and prayer is regarded as unproductive and useless. Sensuality and comfort are exalted as the criteria of the true, the good, and the beautiful, whereas prayer is the love of the true beauty, who is God. Prayer is seen as a flight from reality, whereas true prayer is firmly rooted in our earthly responsibilities. So we have mistaken notions of prayer, and so when we study the Catechism and we study the writings of the saints, we always want to try to focus in on what is prayer really? In spite of what we might have heard about prayer, what is true about the nature of prayer, and how can I experience it in my life? This is something that each of us must ask. And in addition to erroneous notions of prayer, we have a battle to face as we strive to pray. Failure in prayer, as we perceive it, might include discouragement, dryness, disappointments, wounded pride, resistance to prayer as a free gift. The conclusion is always the same. What good does it do to pray? To overcome these obstacles, we must battle to gain humility, trust, and perseverance. This battle for prayer requires constant vigilance, being on the alert, being ready to respond to the Lord's will, being ready to put aside anything that might distract us from prayer. Distraction is the habitual difficulty in all forms of prayer. To set about hunting down distractions would be to fall into their trap, when all that is necessary is to turn back to our heart. A distraction reminds us of what we are attached to, and this awareness can awaken our love for the Lord and lead us resolutely to offer Him our heart to be purified. Therein lies the battle, the choice of which master to serve. The battle for prayer requires vigilance and a sober heart. This vigilance is waiting upon the Lord, for the bridegroom comes in the middle of the night. The light that must not be extinguished is that of faith. Dryness is another difficulty in prayer. Sometimes people give up on prayer because it is an experience of dryness. And this would be the worst thing to do, because sometimes the Lord leads us to an experience of dryness precisely so as to open us up to a deeper way of praying. In contemplative prayer, this dryness is an experience of being separated from God with no taste for thoughts, memories, and feelings, even spiritual ones. This is the moment of sheer faith, clinging faithfully to Jesus in His agony and in His tomb. If this dryness is because of a lack of roots, though, the battle requires conversion. Sometimes there is the dryness that is caused by giving in to distractions or by living a life that is incompatible with the gospel. These require conversion. But if one is in a state of grace, if one in discussion with confessor or spiritual director comes to the understanding that yes, I'm living a good life, but I'm still experiencing dryness, then one must persevere and realize that sometimes God wants us to desire not His consolations, but rather to desire Himself. Not to desire the good things that come from knowing God, but to desire God alone. Lack of faith is a common temptation in prayer. This is manifested in being overwhelmed at prayer with 1,000 labors or cares competing for priority, or turning to the Lord as a last resort, or enlisting the Lord as an ally but with a presumptuous heart. In each case, our lack of faith reveals that we do not yet share in the disposition of a humble heart. Apart from me, the Lord says, you can do nothing. Known as the noonday devil by early spiritual fathers, there's a form of depression due to lax ascetical practice, decreasing vigilance, carelessness of the heart. We must be mindful that the greater the height, the harder the fall. Yet this discouragement is the opposite of presumption, and it can lead the humble of heart to trust more and to be renewed in constancy.